Such a blessing to be here. I've really been looking forward to it. Always look forward to this Bible conference. Thank you to all of you who make it possible, for all the hard work that goes into it. And really appreciate that very much. Enjoy all the Bible lessons. Enjoy being able to speak. And just great to be able to see everybody that I love so much. Joan and I enjoy being here. And thank you so much for all you've meant to us all through the years. Steve Brown, he is one that I like to listen to a lot. He's on the radio and so forth. And quite often he'll say, you know, 50% of what I say is wrong. The problem is you don't know which 50% it is. And probably each of us as ministers, if we're really honest, we would have to be honest about that and just say, you know, we're not right about everything we say, and maybe not even 50% of what we say is right. We think we are. We wouldn't get up and say it. We wouldn't get up and say something we thought was wrong. But, you know, that's really true. We could be wrong. 50% of what I say could be wrong. So, you know, the challenge is for you to figure out which 50% it is. You've got to go in there, get in there and dig. And it's the Word of God that you have to put it up against. You have to evaluate every word you hear from any preacher, from any teacher, from any friend. Everything you hear, every bit of information you take in, you have to evaluate it against the Word of God, because the Word of God is perfect. It is absolute. There is no variance within it. There's no falsehood in it. Everything in it is true. Some of our interpretations may not be true. Some of our applications may not be true. And so when we get up to teach, we teach the things that we feel God has led us to teach. Their applications and interpretations that we give, they may be right and they may not be right. But the Word of God is always right. And if you study it long enough, and if you open your heart up to God, God will show you that which is right and that which is not right. Because it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner. It's able to give you discernment. Being able to see things that many other people might not be able to see, that maybe no one else could see without the power of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual things are taught by the Holy Spirit, and only by the Holy Spirit. So we have to come to the Word of God, and we have to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit as we look into the Word of God. Steve Brown also says something that I kind of like. He says, you know, there are so many different interpretations. You'll hear a lot of different things as you look at the Bible. It's your job to look at it and study it and ask God for discernment. He says, really, there are only two things that are important. Two things that are really important. One is your sin is bigger than you think it is. No question about it. Your sin is bigger than you think it is. Even right here tonight, it's easy to think of, oh, those people out there, they don't know how bad their sin is. The fact is, we don't know how bad our sin is. We just can't even begin to comprehend how bad our sin is in the sight of God. I really think God protects us from that. If we knew, I think we'd just be paralyzed. If we could see our own sin, even at this moment, whatever deception we may have, whatever pride, whatever else you could imagine, the motivations that would be displeasing to God, if we could see how horrible that is, we'd just crawl into the pews and not want to look anybody in the eye. We'd be paralyzed. And so our sin is much worse than we think it is. But the second thing is that God's grace is much bigger than we think it is. God's grace is much bigger than we think it is. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how bad our sin is. God's grace is bigger. God's grace is more powerful. Paul said, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Much more abound. It's super abounding. Way above the ugliness of our own sin. Superabounding grace. Yes, those are two, I think those are two really, really important concepts It's the foundation of everything else that we would learn in the Scriptures. God would want us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to recognize our sinfulness, but also to recognize His grace, to recognize His love, and to recognize that it's made available to us through the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The power of the Word of God. As we come to the Word of God, we learn, we learn, we learn. There's so much to learn. As we learn, we prepare ourselves to hear the voice of God. You can learn and learn and learn and learn as you read the Word of God, and as you study the Word of God, and you may never hear the voice of God. You may learn all the facts, and you'll be able to quote all the covenants, quote all the dispensations to people, and you may never hear the voice of God, and you'll really miss out on a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Look at this. I never noticed this until just recently. The first two verses in the same chapter of Hebrews chapter 4, where the writer says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them." These are some people he's talking about who heard the Word of God. They were taught the Word of God. He said, the same Word. They heard exactly the same thing we did. And it didn't profit them at all. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You see, that's taking it to the next level. We can learn and learn and learn, and we should learn. That's God's will. It's so important for us to learn. But we need to realize that as we're learning the Word of God, it is simply preparation for hearing the voice of God. If you don't know the Word of God, how are you going to discern the voice of God? If God tells you to go be a pastor in Peace Church in Oklahoma, how are you going to know it's the voice of God if you don't have a foundation in the Word of God, if you haven't learned the Word of God, and you don't know God that well? As we study the Word of God and learn the doctrines of the Bible, we learn so much about God. And that prepares us to hear the voice of God as He directs us in our lives. It prepares us. But just because you're prepared, it doesn't mean you're going to hear the voice or that you're going to obey the voice. I know people, you probably do too, people who have prepared themselves. They can quote Scripture. They've learned a lot about the Bible, but they are not willing to listen to the voice of God. They're not willing to obey the voice of God when God does speak to them. This was exactly the same situation that these Jews were in. This is written to the Hebrews, and this writer is talking about some people who heard the Word of God. They knew the Word of God. There were many Jewish people who had been instructed in the Word of God from the time they were little bitty children. And they knew all of the foundational truths of the Scripture that had been revealed after that time. They knew that God had created the heavens and the earth. They knew about the flood that had come to destroy the wickedness of the earth. They knew how Abraham, the patriarch of their family, how he had been called by God and given these tremendous promises that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through his descendants, through the seed. They knew and they believed that God had appeared to David, and that God had given David these special promises. Giving a little amplification on the promises that were given to Abraham. Where when God talked to David, he told David, he says, your descendants are going, one of your descendants is going to sit on your throne forever. Your throne is going to be established forever. So that promise was revealed to David, and everybody after David knew that. And they all believed that. So these Jewish people that the writer's talking about here are people who are well taught. taught in the Scriptures. They knew all the Scripture that had been revealed. They believed all the Scripture that had been revealed. But when it came down to it, God was expecting them to listen to the voice of God beyond anything that had been revealed in the Scriptures. They could not believe in Jesus Christ. They could not accept Him as the fulfillment of the promises that were given to Abraham, as the fulfillment of the promises that were given to David. They could not believe in Him without hearing the voice of God. Only people who heard the voice of God believed in Jesus Christ. Jesus said that. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice." He says, "My sheep know everything that everybody else knows." All the other lost Bible scholars, they knew the same things. But those who got saved were the ones who heard the voice of Jesus Christ and recognized it as the voice of God. They knew it was the voice of God. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. They will obey me." You see, this goes way beyond just anything that they could have even learned in the Scriptures. Anything they could have learned in the Scriptures. This goes way beyond it. It's a matter of a personal relationship with Christ. But that preparation of learning the Scriptures made it possible for them to believe in Jesus too. It prepared them to hear the voice of God. You see, those who did believe in Jesus Christ, those who did hear His voice and recognized Him, they said, "Oh, you must be the Messiah." That's what the disciples said when they came. Jesus told them where they were that day under the fig tree. He says, "Oh, you must be the Messiah." Well, they knew about the Messiah, didn't they? You see, he wouldn't have said that if he hadn't learned about the Messiah. He was anticipating the Messiah. He had all this foundational truth. And when he heard the voice of Jesus Christ, it communicated with his heart. He heard the voice of God. He responded to it. He obeyed it. He said, "Yes, I will listen to what I'm hearing, and I will receive it. I will believe it. I will walk by faith. I will respond by faith." This writer says, the people that weren't saved, he says, you've got to be really, really careful because you can hear the word and not profit by it because it's not mixed with faith. It's not mixed with the kind of faith that says, "I believe God will direct me. I believe God will show me what to do in my life. I believe that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is just as true today as it ever was. That if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not into my own understanding, God will direct my paths. He will show me what to do. He will show me what to do." Oh, this is a beautiful message to tell people. Tell our young people. You know, they're making all kinds of decisions about who to marry, what kind of career to pursue. Huge decisions that are going to affect the rest of their lives. And how many people do you see that are messed up because of bad decisions they've made? And I will guarantee you, God doesn't lead in that way. God leads people in the direction of peace. He leads people in the direction of quietness, joy. He doesn't say, "I'm just going to lead you into the most conflicted personal relationship you could ever get into. You know, it'll be good for you." It's not the way God works. God says, "Listen to me." But study the Word. Study the Word. Get the foundation that you need. Otherwise, you won't even know what my voice is. You hear all the kinds of people saying, "God told me this and God told me that." And you know they didn't listen to God because what they say goes directly against the Word of God. So, you see, it's about discernment. It's not about saying, "Oh, God doesn't speak. Let's just get rid of all that to avoid any possible conflict." You know, it's about, yes, God will speak to your heart about what He wants you to do if you'll pray, if you'll commit your way to the Lord, if you'll believe in Him, and if you'll commit yourself to studying the Word of God so that you know who God is. you know the kind of God God is. And when He speaks to you, you recognize His voice. That's what God's will is for us, for each and every person that we see. So many times we spend time trying to convince people, you know, as pastors particularly, people come to us and with conflicts or whatever, and we say, well, this would be what God wants you to do. The Scriptures are very clear here. You know, this is God's direction from the Word of God. Doesn't mean a thing to them. They walk off and say, act like they never heard you. And they didn't. They didn't ever hear you. It went in one ear and out the other, because things like that are committed by God. It's just like the person you tell about Christ 100 times. And you just say, well, I'm not going to tell them about Christ anymore. I'm just not going to do it. And then God will get hold of you and say, tell them one more time. Tell them one more time. And you tell them one more time, and they say, wow, that's beautiful. Why didn't you ever tell me that before? They finally heard the voice of God. You know, as ministers, that's the secret we have to lay hold on, is that we have to pray that God will communicate to people, because we can't do it. We can't do it. We can talk till we're blue in the face and we can't communicate. God can. But we also have to teach people that they can hear. You know, you need to hear from God. You know, you've got a major decision to make here. And these are some principles that we see in the Word of God that only God can tell you what to do. Only God can tell you what to do. And if we teach people that, say, I can't tell you what to do, but God can. And I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask God. I'm going to beg God. I'm going to cry out to God that God will tell you what to do, because this decision you're about to make is critical. And you need help. You need the kind of help that I can't give. But I believe in the power of God. I believe that God will communicate with you. He's promised. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We sometimes just limit God so much. We limit God so much, thinking, oh, this is all that I can have in life. If we listen to God, if we really trust God, we'll see God do things that go way beyond anything we could ever imagine, anything we could ever think of. He wants to do great and mighty things. He wants to show us His power. He wants to demonstrate His power. He wants to confirm His Word. And we'll see Him do things. It'll go beyond all anything that we could ask or think. And that is a place of great blessing. It's what I would pray for each and every one of you. I would pray it for each and every one of the people that go to the Peace Church. I pray it for each and every one of our people in each of our churches. That all of us would be able to lay hold of that power, the power of the Word of God, preparing ourselves in the Word of God to listen. Preparing ourselves to listen to the Word of God, to listen to the voice of God. And then when we hear the voice of God, to absolutely be willing to follow it. Say, Lord, when you speak to me, I will follow. I will follow. I've known people that told me they heard the voice of God, but they didn't have the strength to follow it. They didn't want to follow it. They had too many other investments in this world, and they said, I can't do that. I can't do that. And you can say no to God. And God will say, okay, I've said no to God before. I'm not proud of that. I had to suffer the consequences of it. I don't ever want to say no to God again. I don't want anyone in here to ever say no to God. I want you to listen to the voice of God and say, God, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. I will do. I will submit to you. I will be your servant. I will submit to your leading. The Word of God prepares us to hear the voice of God. I think of John Wooden. You know, he was the extraordinarily successful coach of UCLA, who just had an incredible career. He had 10 NCAA championships in 12 years. 10 in 12 years, 7 in a row. He knew something about success. And as I was reading about his biography, you know, he wanted to be in the Midwest. He didn't really want to be on the West Coast. And there was a weather problem, and he couldn't communicate with Minnesota. So he didn't know Minnesota was going to make him an offer, and he took an offer in UCLA. And afterwards, he found this offer from Minnesota, and he said, I have to go because I've already given them my word. I've given them my word, and I'll stay. He insisted on a three-year contract up front with UCLA, and there was an opportunity to move back and go back to the Midwest. And he told UCLA that he was thinking about moving. This was before his long string of success. And they reminded him that he was the one that had insisted on a three-year contract because they didn't want to lose him. And that was exactly the thing they needed to say to get his attention, because he said, I couldn't leave. I'd be breaking my word. I'd be breaking my word. I just couldn't leave. And after that, he had all the success. All the success. See, God honors when we listen. God honors when we listen. You know, legally, he could have gotten out of that, couldn't he? Legally, you can get out of it. People do it all the time. But he listened to the voice of God. God said, no, you gave your word. You need to honor your word. And God blessed it. God blessed it. Listen to the voice of God. There was nothing in the Bible that told him to stay at UCLA. And he could have justified, you know, things, even within the bounds of Scripture. But he listened. He heard the voice of God and he listened. He says, no, I can't do that. I have to follow what I'm hearing in my heart, what I'm hearing in my mind, everything in me is telling me, I have to stay here and I'll just do it. I'll do that. I'll obey. I'll obey what the Lord tells me. You know what John said? He was talking about basketball, but it applies to life so much. He said, opportunity comes to those who are prepared. Opportunity comes to those who are prepared. You see, his basketball team, his job was to prepare them. They learned the drills. They knew how to play basketball. They knew all the strategy of basketball. He prepared them in every way. But there's no way that he could really prepare them for each and every individual situation that would arise on the court. His players had to be prepared to take advantage of those opportunities instantaneously. You see, doesn't that apply? If we have prepared ourselves by studying the Word of God, then the minute an opportunity arises, the minute God says, go, you're ready to go. The minute God says, stay, you stay. Because you're prepared by the Word of God. The preparation is not the end game. What if they had just prepared and prepared and prepared and they never went out there and played a game and they never looked for the opportunities? The winners are the ones that are prepared and they seize every opportunity as it comes up. They've got an eye that's open. They've got a heart that's willing. They've got a body that's ready to go. That's when you win. That's when you win. And God wants each and every one of us to be winners. He really does. It's His plan. It's His plan for us. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's prepared us for victory. But it's up to us to take advantage of those opportunities instantaneously as they come our way. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have of walking by faith. How exciting it is to realize that you want to direct us each and every step of the way. That your word is so powerful. It is there to prepare us. It teaches us who you are. It teaches us the principles of life, the wisdom. Father, we realize that in Jesus Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. But Father, we have to gain access to that. We need access to it. We pray for access to that, that we might walk in the wisdom of Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that you want us to gain knowledge of the Word of God, that we might grow in wisdom and spiritual understanding as we apply the things that we've learned in the Word of God. Father, we're thankful that the Holy Spirit is active within us, that He knows everything from the beginning to the end, that He knows so much more than we do when it comes to making plans for our lives. He knows everything. And Father, we don't. We just don't know enough to make accurate plans that are really good. But the plans of the Holy Spirit are always good. We acknowledge that, we confess that, we believe it, and we depend upon the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, and that's our one and only goal, Father. It's not our desire to lift up ourselves or to bring glory and honor to our own names, but that we might glorify the name of Jesus Christ in every way. Father, we pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.